Hello, everyone. It's time for another edition of Adventures in Careerland. I am your host, Adriano Magnifico. I am the career lead at the Louis Riel Arts and Technology Center. That's a very cool high school, post-secondary, polytech-style of institution that offers all kinds of neat programs, such as the one in which we are immersed at this second. This is the broadcast media studio from which we're recording, and the program that is running at this second. So we're in the podcast studio, but there's a lot of other programs in this building. You could be an early childhood educator, you could be a hairstyler, you could be an information systems expert, a cybersecurity person, new media design, you could be a plumber, a baker, you could be a mechanic. Neat programs. It's a place where students can come in their high school life to think about, I wonder what the future can hold. I'd like to test or gauge something about me. So it's a really neat space. And I think the gem is the broadcast media program. That's why we're in it. We're broadcasting live here. And I have co-hosts with me. One of these co-hosts is from the broadcast media program, André Poirier.
The one and only. It is me.
How are you, sir?
I am doing great.
Okay, listen, we had a major celestial event yesterday. Did you partake?
No, I was stuck inside doing work.
Come on, you didn't even feel it. You weren't watching it on the television or on some feed or something.
Nope.
We had a solar eclipse, man.
I know.
And you didn't care.
Well, I did care, but I was busy doing stuff for skills, running around the building, filming stuff, editing things, only making a full 3-minute video. In only 5 hours.
Well, that's kind of amazing, but you missed a lifetime moment. But that's okay. I like your commitment to the program. That's a fantastic thing. And we have Lina Alfori. How are you, Lina?
I'm doing good.
And she's from the Applied Business Management Program. And again, this is an odd scenario we have. We usually have broadcast media kids who are the co-hosts. We have our first person from another program. So Lena, what did you think of the celestial event, this solar eclipse?
I did go outside. I did look at it. I don't know if that was, I don't know if I was looking at the right thing. I don't know.
Did you have glasses on?
No.
Oh my God.
I don't think I was like actually looking at it. I looked up, I saw the sun, but I don't know if it was pretty bright, but I don't know.
That's what the solar eclipse is, looking at the sun. I don't know what I was looking at. What did you think you were looking at?
No, but
it
was around the time.
And you weren't wearing glasses. Oh my gosh. Our education system is failing both of you. They should have sent you out for that major moment. Those are those great moments where you look into the sky and you wonder about who we are, what we're doing in the universe. That's a major moment. Yeah. Think of those things moving around the universe.
That's so cool.
At this moment, it gave us a glimpse of something incredible. Mm-hmm. I remember the one in 1979. I'm not kidding. And it was a total eclipse in Winnipeg. And I remember noontime, the thing just went dark around that time.
Yeah.
The whole street went dark. I remember a dog just freaking out on the street. Mm-hmm. Birds went silent. It was just the temperature went down.
Yeah.
The whole thing, it was just an amazing thing. Anyway, I hope you remember a day like this. And look back on it. Look back at some of the cool photos. You won't see a photo like that.
Yeah,
again.
I've seen some on people were posting it and filming it and stuff. So
I just got a nice sequence from a friend who's a pilot, mm-hmm. and it was in some port of call. I don't know where he took it. I just sent a note. Did you actually take that from the plane? I can't believe it. Because you can see it's kind of cloudy, but he gave me a sequence of it. I'll show it to you later. A sequence of the moon covering this sun up.
That's
kind
so
of
cool.
An amazing thing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. It always fills me full of wonder to watch these things. Anyway, we had our lives riveted by something in the sky. That's kind of cool. Now, in this pod, we have a cool podcast that's going to rivet you as well. I think we have a former student of mine as our guest today. That's Anthony Senarini. He is coming from Vancouver in his studio, the 12th Street Sound Studio. Anthony, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're taking the time to do this. You're a hard guy to book. You're a hard guy to connect with on these because you have so much work doing. You're running a sound studio. Tell us a bit about what you do. You're in Vancouver, where you're at, what you're doing.
Yep. So I am in New Westminster, which is just outside Vancouver. and I run a studio called 12th Street Sound. I'm basically a full-time music producer, recording engineer. I've been in this space for about 7 years. I've been out in BC since 2015. I do a whole host of other things too. I do some live work. I play in a band. I co-own a copywriting agency. Yeah, so I do. I keep pretty busy. I'm glad we're finally able to do this because I feel like we've been trying for quite some time. So.
Yeah, we have been. We have been. But you're a hard guy to pin down because you're so busy. And that's a great thing. Just want to know, like, I remember you. This is, you're a Windsor Park Collegiate grad. You're a Winnipegger.
Yep.
And you spent most of your life in Winnipeg. You've been in Vancouver for the last 10 or so. Yep. I recall you back in the day, you joined a program I started there called the Career Internship Program.
Yep.
And I remember trying to drag your butt into the program. You were a very hard person to bring into the program because I was trying to build the profile of the program. I thought, and Centerini was one of these guys in the school with a high profile. I thought, I got to bring a high profile guy into the program. So what was, think about your life in high school there, grade 11, because I'm trying to recruit you and your colleagues and your peers in grade 11. What's going through your head in high school in grade 11?
I think the main thing with, I happen to be one of those people fortunate enough to already know what I wanted to do with my life. So I just wanted to get on with it. That's kind of where I was at. So I remember having a conversation with you and you approached me and said, hey, I want you to join the SIP program. And I had you make a promise to me right then and there. And I said, well, if you can get me an internship at a recording studio, I'll join. But you need to promise me right now that that's what you're going to do. And you did. And I'm very thankful for it. So.
You know how hard it was to find that studio?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you go there in person?
Yes.
Oh.
And I had no idea where it was. Remember that studio? You interned during this career. Part of the career internship program involves you going on an internship with a company and bringing you on board. And, you know, where do you want to be? What do you want to test out? What do you want to gauge? And you want to go to that studio. And I remember going down there. It was in the heart of our inner city. And I couldn't find it at the beginning because tell us why. Talk. You were at Bedside Studios. Correct.
Yeah. So I was at Bedside for about a year and a half. It's definitely it's inconspicuous. It's in a old Ukrainian church, I believe. And, you know, they built a whole recording studio inside it. But from the outside, there's no markings. There's no nothing. It actually looks pretty much abandoned, which is cool. I mean, I've kind of taken that philosophy and integrated that in my own studio here where you can never find it. But yeah, I was there for a year and a half after SIP. So SIP gave me, I think it was a 6-week internship originally.
Yeah.
And then I stayed on for quite a while.
So what is it now? You're you had a band going there too in high school, Jack Straight, because I bought the CD and I was looking around for it. I found that CD at home when I put it in the old CD player. You guys could play.
Oh no.
And did you play a little bit at school dances and stuff like that too?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember. I remember Riley did. Remember your colleague Riley?
Yeah, I remember doing the Kiss show, like a Kiss tribute band with Riley and Kevin Johnson, and I think Nick Sally was the bass player.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And I remember doing that. I don't remember if Jack Straight ever played in Windsor Park. I know he obviously did a lot of shows, a lot of all ages shows at that time, but yeah, honestly, don't remember.
Well, but that's okay. But you were, what I always admired about you is, and I always admired this about rockers in general, you were the drummer and the lead singer.
That is very impressive.
And
I don't do that in bands anymore usually. I actually try. I try really hard not to sing in the band I'm in now. But at the time, you know, like in high school, you just kind of got to make it work. And we didn't really know any great lead singers. Not to say that I was a great lead singer, because I'm not, never have been, but it was just the easiest way to see the vision through, I think, at that point. It was a fun band. I mean, I had a great time doing that, but it was very much a high school thing.
are you still in a band or in the band?
I play in a duo now called Big Fuzz, and we're starting to do some touring and stuff like that. So that's kind of been one of the main things I've started working on in the last 18 months or so, and it's going pretty well, I would say. We've we had just gotten our first US festival invite, and unfortunately had some visa issues at the border, so we couldn't do that. But we've done some touring. We've played in Manitoba. We did a festival up in Churchill. We did a date, I think, at the Osborne Tap House, which was the old Toad. Yes. There in Winnipeg.
And what kind of music do you guys make? Is it still, doing rock?
It's still rock, yeah. I'm just the drummer in that, and I'm fortunate enough to play with an incredible songwriter, guitar player, kind of all around ridiculous musician.
Do you guys have any inspirations that, like, bands that inspire you guys, your music?
I mean, all music inspires us in one way or another. Like Francis, my guitar player, he's got a jazz degree and stuff like that, so it's not solely just rock, but most, you know, when we market ourselves, it's kind of like, if you're a fan of Royal Blood or July Talk or any of those, you know, kind of on the radio rock bands, you'll probably like what we do.
Well, I've actually listened to your song Always On My Mind. It's really good. I actually really enjoyed it.
Great. Happy to hear that.
Well, good for you. You actually listened to Big Fuzz?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Actually, this is true, Anthony. I said, yeah, he plays it just before we got on here. I said, yeah, Anthony plays in a band now called Big Fuzz. I never heard of him. And of course, my Gen Z person beside me goes, oh, yeah, I listen to Big Fuzz.
There you go.
Holy smokes, you've got a following at the table.
That's awesome.
Yeah, great to hear.
So when you're thinking, you joined this program, and we talked a bit about this yesterday, you're thinking of education or not? You're thinking of, should I go get some education? And like, you're in the audio engineering field, right? And you're watching it play out in an internship. It is connecting to you intensely, but you're not thinking of education in any way. How come?
When it comes to post-secondary and that sort of thing, it never really appealed to me. I honestly, you know, I looked at recording arts programs in Winnipeg, and at the time I didn't see anything that I thought was better than the internship that I was already in. And university itself, I would have been grasping at straws to pick the classes I wanted. I kind of already knew what I wanted to do, and U of W didn't have anything like that. Red River sort of had the broadcast media program, which is adjacent to what I wanted to do, but not so specialized that I thought it was what I wanted to do. But
you know, that's interesting, because in this program we have now called the broadcast media program, you probably would have taken this in a heartbeat. No?
Yeah, just to learn the recording side more and get hands-on experience, probably. Yeah.
And do you have any regrets about not going into post-secondary?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay, all good. That's good to
absolutely
hear.
Absolutely not.
No, this is about Anthony is always this person. You were so driven. We were talking about, do you remember the big business plan you wrote about marketing Jack Straight and all that kind of thing? You went, I don't remember that. And I'm looking around for it. I'll find it. I know it's around somewhere. But man, what a report you guys wrote about. We're going on the road. We have our dates. And you guys were planning to take the show on the road. And it was so real life. Sometimes kids write business plans that are full of whimsy and possibility, but they're not as realistic. Yours was, hey, I'm going on the road. We're going to make a business plan about what it's going to cost to go on the road and how we promote our brand. I thought that was so cool.
I mean, it probably wasn't like we didn't actually tour until I want to say 2010 or 2011. So it was after I left high school, but we eventually did do it. And, you know, I mean, as with any band, it's like a relationship, right? There's a lot of interpersonal stuff that goes on there. And at the time, you know, we were still trying to figure it out. And so we did.
You mean you were kind of like the Eagles? You broke up. You broke up, man.
Yeah.
Okay. But you were, now think, you're the drummer and the singer. How hard is it to do that? Like, I've always admired Henley and Phil Collins, and these guys are amazing to me. How hard is it to do that?
It was very difficult, and I don't think I ever did it well.
No, I listened to it. Your EP has you guys playing. You're the singer.
Yeah. And I mean, that's done separately. I'm not playing drums and singing at the same time on the record. It's, you know, we played all the bed tracks, like drums, guitar, bass, then I sang on it, which is much easier than doing both at the same time and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it was fun at the time, you know, just learning how to do it.
Of course. So you're a big fan, obviously, of experiential kind of education. Go out and do it, not just read about it.
Yep. At this point, I sort of look at, so I'm 32 now, been out of high school for, I guess it'll be 15 years this year, which is really weird to think about. And yeah, I mean, I sort of see the first studio I ever did on my own, which was, it was called Gateway Recording Co. And it was in my parents' basement, but I went out and, you know, took out a loan from the bank of mom and dad and more equipment than a 19-year-old should ever buy. You know, I see that first period of about, I think it was 3 or 4 years running that business and the challenges that came along with that. And, you know, realizing in high school, you're kind of in a vacuum and it's, you know, if
it's surreal,
if right? you get recognized at your high school, you tend to think that you can take that anywhere. And I found out very, very quickly that that's not the way the world works. And so I sort of see that as my education. And then once I actually moved out to BC and started a studio here, that's the beginning of my professional career.
So when you went to BC, you were working with Long & McQuaid in town, correct?
Yeah. So I moved out to BC to be with somebody, as a lot of people do. Didn't work out, which is great. And I basically approached, I flew out to BC a few months prior to moving and just kind of, you know, started applying places, the usual BC audio engineering jobs at EA and all that sort of stuff. And eventually I took a referral to Long & McQuaid, and I was, like I said, I'd started a studio in Winnipeg, so I was a bit of a regular at the Winnipeg store, and they gave me a great referral, and I ended up getting hired at the Surrey 104th Avenue location out here. And I stayed there for about 3.5 years. That was how I moved to BC.
Well, you did some amazing things there. You told me some numbers. Tell me about your success at Long & McQuaid in BC.
Yeah, I basically went there, and I guess I'll give context to that. It wasn't really... The ultimate goal wasn't to work in a music store, but my philosophy was that no matter who you are, you have to go buy guitar strings, and most musicians will do that themselves. So it was a chance to kind of, you know, get integrated into the BC music world a little bit. I worked as hard as I could at that job. I ended up being there the top seller in that location 4 calendar years running. I was top 15 in the company, and that's over 80 stores and 1,200 employees. They sent me to Toronto, to LA, to all sorts of stuff. They treated me really well. I'm thankful for my time there. I met everybody I needed to meet. I got this studio from that job, from meeting somebody who was starting a studio, and they became a close friend. And, you know, most of my now clients can be traced to one interaction at that location. So
do you have any like fun or cool stories when you used to work there?
Like any cool musicians roll in there and you go,
huh? Yeah, I mean, well, there'd be bands that roll in all the time. Folks from Deer Rouge would come in and, you know, rent stuff. Just about everybody, you know, at one point or another, touring musicians would roll in. There was a time where some Winnipeg musicians actually showed up at my location. And I was like, wait a second, what are you doing here? You know, and they were friends of mine. And I was like, oh, my God, I haven't seen you in, you know, 3 years. Nice to see you. I'll rent you a guitar amp now, kind of thing. But yeah, it was generally the best stories I have all come from the trip to California. Like they sent me to NAMM, the National Association of Music Merchants. It's basically a huge conference. Like 100,000 people attend it in Anaheim. And, you know, like I'd be walking down the hall and Bootsy Collins would come back the other way with an entourage. And like, you know, there's tons of every endorsed musician basically is there. So if they have some sort of relationship with a manufacturer, they're usually at NAMM. So that was a great few days. That was pretty fun.
Hey, they're showing a lot of trust in you when they do that, right?
Yep.
And did you feel like my impression is you built a network. You talked about yourself as being kind of an introvert. 100%. Do you recall? But
yeah, you won't see me go into I don't usually go to shows very often. You won't see me talking in a big group of people and being the life of the party. That's not really my vibe.
but you've learned the subtle act of working and building relationships.
For sure.
And so you had to call on that piece, right?
A big part of my, I don't want to call it a business plan because it's not necessarily that, but a lot of the angle when it comes to recording is to build long-term relationships. I really believe in the whole underdog philosophy and all of that sort of stuff. So I love working with musicians that are doing their first or second album, and they kind of want to, you know, we build a relationship, we keep working together, you know. That's sort of my philosophy. I would rather somebody do that all day long than just show up, do a one-day session, and then leave.
I love that. I love that. Do you consider yourself an underdog? Do you consider yourself a bit of an underdog?
I've been pretty fortunate in my career. I don't know if I think the drive comes from that, and the drive comes from being knocked down and learning how to get back up again. I don't know if I necessarily refer to myself as an underdog. But I definitely have that Winnipeg scrappy thing, right? Like the, you know, when you hear about the Jets and stuff like that, and they're always, you know, scrappy and trying to overcome people's perception of them. I think I would fall into that category.
Well, that's good. So you figure you're a Jets fan now or a Canucks fan?
Oh, I always have been. Yeah.
Jets fan?
Die hard.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Watch every game. Yep.
I like that you, well, that's awesome. I like that you, were you a hockey player? Did you play any sports back in the day?
No, God, no, I can't even skate.
Well, that's what I recall. I recall that you were just into the music thing. That was your whole gig at school.
Yeah.
And you were working it.
Yeah, and I mean,
but here's the other cool part about you, Anthony, very quickly, is you were a very talented academic. You were a very good writer. You were a very good formatter when it came to the computers and seeing texts and turning them into very powerful pieces and images for people, and you always got a wow factor from people. I you always got that from me. I went, Jesus, amazing stuff. Is that part now? You have a copyright business.
Yeah.
Some people are going to school to get that skill and credential to do that, right? Not you. You learned it through the school of hard knocks again. So how do you become a copyright business?
So that's a story. It's actually my partner's business. Originally. She started it during the pandemic, and the whole reason I got involved, I did some freelance writing for her when she needed my help, kind of thing. But she eventually pitched me an idea. I was about to get plucked for to be the general manager of a related music industry business, not a studio, but something else. And they were trying to recruit me, and she basically was like, I don't think you should do this. I'll offer you half my company. Stick with me. And so that's how I started getting involved in that. Now, I consider myself more, less of a writer and more of an entrepreneur. So I tend to stay behind the scenes, and I actually, you know, like I don't work a whole ton on that business, but I do help with operations and general strategy and all that sort of stuff more than I help with the writing, but I can do it. Like, you know, it's one of those things I tend to, you know, even if I'm not into everything creative and maybe I don't focus on it, I tend to be able to fake it till you make it a little bit. And writing is sort of like that. Same with anything artwork related, or, you know, it's all creative adjacent. So if you've got a keen eye for detail, I feel like those are all sort of transferable.
Hey, that's an interesting perspective. The old fake it till you make it. Our previous guest also had that mentality. He just said, well, how are you doing this? I never saw this in you in high school. Fake it till you make it. And then you figure it out and suddenly I'm good at it, right? What's the message you would give to a young person who is thinking, I'm not sure what to do. I think I like this. What message would you give them? If you were standing in front of a group of grade 11s, and they were thinking, what should I do with my life? What advice would you
give? I
have
a few different thoughts on that. If you're one of those people who's fortunate enough to know what they want to do, I would say stay true to that. Stay true to yourself. Block out the noise and chase it. If you're one of those people that doesn't quite know what they want to do, then try the most adventurous thing first. And do the thing that nobody wants you to do, right? Like, do the creative thing. Society tends to beat creativity out of people. Do that first. Try it. See how you like it. You might find it's the best thing you could do. You might find it's not for you, but then you can go and chase a traditional career, a less creative career, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's good advice, because you're making the good point. We talked about the high school system a little bit on the phone. Yep. Tell me, is it about creativity? Did you find that, like, at times you were, I'm not sure the word is dissatisfied, but you were, or disillusioned. I'm not sure. You can choose the word about the educational system. What would you think is lacking in there? Does it have to do with creativity?
I don't know if it's necessarily creativity. I think individuality is a big part of it. Like high school tends to, well, the education system in general tends to treat people in groups rather than as individuals. And I think that's, you know, my disillusionment or whatever you want to call it from the high school system, I think that was a me thing. I don't necessarily think that was a systemic thing, but it is hard to carve your own path in high school for sure. Like you have to be very loud about it. You have to be very driven because, I mean, at the end of the day, the education system is trying to help you survive in life, and it does that en masse, right? Like it expects people to get a 9-to-5, and we're fortunate, you know, like, I mean, even in the LRSD, like you're fortunate to have schools like the Arts and Tech Center and to have, you know, shops classes and stuff like that, but they are ultimately there to help you figure out a career path.
Yeah, of course, ultimately. So you're thinking the function of school should be to help you to get on that path and get in touch with your best self somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, get in touch with who you are, find your identity, that sort of thing, yeah, for sure. And yeah, and it's hard to do that. It's super hard.
And that's, yeah, you've pointed out a great difficulty in the system that's trying to teach a mass of students,
yeah,
30 credits, consume other people's work. And right, it's very difficult. And there are pockets of it, right? You saw it, like the SIP was a pocket of it, right? Where you go off and go create something, go do something, go. And we were constantly going out of the building to meet and interact with people in that program.
Right.
So that was, and remember, I always asked you guys, I put you in these leadership positions. We're going to do this workshop for all the grade nines. And some of you would look at me, I don't even think you like doing that because that wasn't your style. But I forced you guys to go, you're going to stand in front of these grade nines and do this half hour workshop with them. And I train you a bit in the class, and some of you were just going, holy smokes.
I discovered my public speaking anxiety in high school for sure. Not necessarily absolutely with you, but there were times where I got put in positions like that. And it was a struggle for sure.
Absolutely. That's difficult. We have an entrepreneur here. That's Lena. Yes. Lena's running her own business right now. So this must be of great interest to you.
I'd love to hear more about that.
It's a sustainable clothing brand that I started in grade 10. And I just had my first launch, I think about like almost a month ago. It was these like cargo pants, and I completely sold out. So I'm working on my restock right now. So it's going really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
And are you designing the clothing? Are you?
Yeah, so I came up with the design and the sketch in grade 10. And then when I actually, like, I bring it to life in grade 11, like almost a year later, I started learning how to sew. I made pants from scratch. And then I figured out that making all of them by myself is going to be really tough. So I contacted a manufacturer. I went through that whole process looking for like a good one for months. And then I found the one, and basically like he ships them to me, and I kind of like touch it up and put my own little touch on it, package them, deliver them. So yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, and do you plan on doing that? Like, have you thought that entrepreneurship is your path?
Oh, for sure. Something in fashion, for sure. Like, I plan to go to a fashion school. I think maybe MC College. There's one in Winnipeg here, or maybe even outside of Winnipeg. So yeah.
That's awesome. Well, congrats. I wish you continued success. It's not an easy road, but
yeah, it's tough.
The fact that you've sold out of I mean, that's amazing. That's always, you know.
Yeah, I think that was really when the point, like that was the point when I.
Proof
yeah,
at all, then
exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. Hey, what are you thinking here, Andre? Are you thinking of starting are you getting inspired by this entrepreneurship conversation?
Do you want my honest answer?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't really think that the business type is me. I feel like I'm better off just being, you do this, I'll go do it, and then I get back to you. What I have.
So we can always put you in a factory line. That's not a big deal. In fact, you can work in Lena's shop, maybe making some of the clothes. I think we got the right place for it.
Uh-oh. It sounds like you're quite a creative person. So like when you, if you're the type of person that wants to just go and execute things, which the world needs, like I've been that person a ton of my life and continue to be, what's the field that you're interested in? Are you interested in broadcast? Are you interested in videography?
Do you like holding the camera all the time here? Do you like being in front of the camera or behind the camera?
Behind the camera. Actually, I never knew how much I'd enjoy being a camera person until we started doing all the events, like hockey, the play. I really enjoyed it because there's a little bit of creativity in it. You have to get a good shot and make it seem nice.
And that's part of the cool part about this program, Anthony. They have to go out. They will stream and video or use professional cameras to stream the high school provincial football championships.
Amazing. That's awesome.
And they have to hook up all the pieces. They have the camera going. They have to stream it. And there's they've had a million viewers in their LRSD TV streaming space. Like, it's amazing.
Great. Over that's division-wide.
Yeah, division-wide.
That's awesome. Yeah,
it is amazing. So I like what you said. So as much as you said, I don't want to be the person running it, you're getting a sense of where your fit is most comfortable. And that's an important thing.
If you can do that and, you know, be reliable and be a self-starter and all that sort of stuff, there's lots of work and lots of opportunities for that, you know, that role. Do you have your own camera set up and do you work on it outside of school?
No, I don't have the money.
Not yet. They're just starting here. Like, this is and you know what? These two young people are both in grade 11. They're coming back to the program in grade 12. So they're going to get another dose of this. And they're getting high school credits here.
Amazing. Yeah.
You would have been all over this. Anthony, you would have been all over this.
The little studio you have looks pretty cool. Like,
it is very cool.
You know, that's great.
It is very cool. So who are some of the big mentors in your life then? The ones who... I wrote an article for a magazine called Tap on the Shoulder, where I said, who's tapped you on the shoulder and pushed you in a direction? It may not even have been supplied you with money sometime or so. It's those people who gave you the sage advice and said, or I see something in you sometimes that are more important than anything. Any people like that in your life?
I've been fortunate to have lots. One of the closest people in my life, I'll give a shout out to Jason because he'll probably listen to this. Probably won't be one of the people that listens to this. I met him when I was quite young. I was in high school and he was buying, I think I bought a guitar off him or he bought an amp off me. I can't remember what, but we met a couple times. And then as I started growing my studio business and going into that, he was the one who would repair all my stuff. And we kind of became pretty close through that process. Like I would say, like, their family, he's like a brother or a dad depending on the day kind of thing. So he's given me a lot of business advice. He's also an entrepreneur and sort of believes in that same philosophy of being scrappy and not stopping until you get what you need to get kind of thing. So I've taken a lot of direction from him over the years. My parents have always been really supportive of the music thing, even if they, you know, sometimes they haven't understood it, and that's okay. And sometimes our relationship was rocky, and that's okay. But we're now in a really good place, and they tend to be, you know, some people that I can lean on when I just kind of need to talk things out. And my partner too, like, she's become an incredible businesswoman over the past few years. She's probably the best networker I've ever met in my life. She can walk into a room with a bunch of strangers, walk out with either a contract or a friend or both.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That to me is wild. Like, I just don't understand how that works. So, you know, I mean, I'm surrounded by peers that I'm all really thankful for. And I learn from every single day. Every time somebody comes into the studio and they want to create something that I haven't heard, there's bound to be a lesson there for me. And I'm always really fortunate. And, you know, I've also had, when I was at Long & McQuaid, I had a great manager. I mean, he kind of showed me all the retail ropes and how, you know, margins and all that stuff really work, and how, you know, not just on a surface level, but how to, you know, the manufacturing side of things and all that sort of stuff. So I've been fortunate to have a really, really strong network when it comes to mentors and peers.
Yes. And you know what? It really sounds like, as much as you haven't read the textbooks, you live the textbook, which is really the key part of life. Like, you really only learn pieces when you experience them and you try them out and you iterate and pivot and you get great advice from people. It sounds like you've had you've been the beneficiary of some people who have just seen something good in you too. They have to see something in you too, Anthony.
Yeah, for sure.
Or, they're not going to invest that time.
Don't get me wrong. I've got gaps too, like everybody does. Yes. But I think there are gaps both ways, right? Like if you do post-secondary, you'll have some gaps. If you don't do post-secondary, you'll have some gaps. It's just a matter of what you choose to do with it, I think. I've been really fortunate. It took me a while, though.
Well, thank you so much for that. We do have something we do at the end of every episode called Quick Cues. If you want to win a Quick Cues card, they're just quick cues, quick questions, very quick. Sound like a Dr. Seuss book. Okay, are you ready? I'm going to give you this or that question. You just answer as quickly as you can. All right.
Go for it.
Phil Collins or Don Henley?
Phil Collins.
Room temperature water or cold water?
Cold.
Snare or bass drum?
Oh, snare drums.
Favorite month?
April.
Be early or be late?
Be early every time.
Favorite band?
Oh, God. I don't have an answer to that.
Megadeth or Metallica?
Can I say neither? Metallica if I have to choose.
Head, shoulders, knees, or toes?
Head.
Coffee or tea?
Sorry? Coffee all day long.
And oh, lattes, for the final question, what is your favorite podcast?
Adventures in Career Life. It might change tomorrow, but that's what it is today.
Well, you had to answer that one correctly, or we just wouldn't have uploaded you, man.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what, Anthony, this has been amazing. I honestly, as a teacher, I feel so proud of what you've done and just having been part of that journey at the beginning and interacted with you. It's just amazing what you've done and the journey and the risks you've taken and this sense of purpose is just astounding. I'm warm and fuzzy inside right now. And that's why I think you've called yourself the Big Fuzz. That's what I think. But I'm really appreciative of you doing this. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to say just about life, learning, and living the dream?
Well, I think you just got to go do it. Just experience it. That's kind of what it's been for me. You have more time than you think. You know, I always thought in high school and just after high school that I always had to accomplish things very quickly. But when you look back at, you know, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, that's when you actually see the results of what you've done, and it'll blow your mind every single time. Like if I, you know, I'm high school me could not have pictured what I do now. And, you know, I think that's the great part about, you know, getting into your late 20s, early 30s kind of thing. So you have plenty of time.
And you're in the prime of it right now. Enjoy it.
Oh yeah.
Keep it going.
I feel like I'm just getting going. Yeah.
And I really appreciate you taking the time, because I know we've had some trouble connecting because you're such a busy guy, and I appreciate that. And I like that about you too. So, hey everybody, that's another edition of Adventures in Career Land. You can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms. You can also check us out on social media platforms. And I'd like to give a quick little thank to Achilles, Chin and Grace, who are our production team in the studio. And of course, Lena and Andre, thanks for doing this. And that's it for another edition of Adventures in Career Land.